appreciate you all coming down close to the front here. Makes it easier to talk. And still talking to a bunch of late benches back there. I got a couple of slides here to start with that I want you to see. This is kind of a disclaimer. I'm going to use some words this morning that I don't mean anything ugly or disparaging or derogatory about people when I talk about these words. But they'll be in the context. I think you'll see where they're coming from. So don't get alarmed when I start using some of these things. Get your little relative to where we're going with this. I was born in 1945, 71 to 72 years old this year. I finished high school in 1963. So in the mid-60s, I was about the same age of the average age of most of you. High school, early college, things like that. So that's what come into play as we get into the presentation this morning, and you see the time frame I'm talking about. So I was about your age when things were going on that I'll be talking about this morning. That's why I wanted to kind of point that out to you there. All right. See if I recognize this building. What is it? Church, Aston Square, west side of the square, and south end there. All right, the next slide has this same picture in it, but it's in the background. So I did this slide here so you can kind of see where we are. But this picture here now, see the church in the background back there? And this is a little bit before my time, based on the age of the cars and things there. So it's a little bit before me. But also, you see this little thing right here. It's a water fountain. It's on Athens Square. And it says colored. There's one right back here you can't see. It says white. Now, I remember that. I remember on, I don't think from the west side of the square one, but east side, south side, north side of the square. I remember when I was growing up, little, they have water fountains there. One more color, one more white. Don't go drink out of that one. No, no, that's for the Bible. Here's more examples of it. Color drink here, white drink here. Restrooms. The L&N Freight Depot here in Athens now is a museum of some kind. But at this time frame, back in these days, the Freight Depot, the L&N Depot here was very active. I remember train stopping, after train stop. People got on and off the train here in Athens. And they were bringing mail in and freight in and all this kind of stuff. But inside where the restrooms are, the colored restrooms and white restrooms. And it wasn't just there. Anywhere you go, Limestone Courthouse. I specifically remember the courthouse at Limestone County Courthouse. There was white restrooms or colored restrooms. It was just that way all over. By the way, this is? Been there before. I like ice cream. Dip cones. These two front windows here is where you get your ice cream these days or your Sundays or whatever. Hot dogs. There's a window right on the side over here. It's got an air conditioner in it now. That used to be where the colored folks got their ice cream. They would come to the front. Come around the side. Get theirs. And on the other side of the building, the east side of the Frame Delight, there's a couple of water fountains there. Now, I don't remember this, but I'm told that in the early days, those were marked white and colored. What was Frame Delight? Building is still there now. And in business. Now, Freddy's sitting in the back. Freddy's granddaddy had a meat market. They served, I guess, stew in there, if I remember right. Petition up. And they had to have petition because the color ain't here and the white ain't here. Every restaurant you go into, it was like that. That's just the way it was. Blacks went to the old Trinity High School. Whites went to his high school. Very much segregated. But it wasn't just here. This is the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma. Famous bridge because of the famous Montgomery to Selma march that occurred. And it wasn't always friendly. A lot of it got pretty rough with that. Family members were mine. not my dad. I remember family members of mine used words that were much worse than the words I put on the screen up here. Because that's what they had been taught to call the people. And it caused trouble in the churches, some. I remember the elders where I was attending at the time talk about, what do we do with black folks walk in here? What do the colors walk in here? Because, well, they're like they were coming not for worship. Well, they've never been a black person in the building. They've been coming, well, they're likely to disturb and cause trouble. So the churches had to deal with how they're going to handle this. Anybody heard about this on the news? It gets brought up occasionally. This is Elder George Wallace standing in the doorway of the University of Alabama, symbolically blocking the first black from attending the University of Alabama with all the troopers there. It wasn't just Alabama. Bogalusa, Louisiana, a march going on. And I imagine that gun that big troopers got there probably loaded. It was rough. But you know, it wasn't just Alabama. It wasn't just the South. I was talking to Craig Cowler the other day, he lives in Chicago. And Craig said, I would hear about all what's going on in the South. And said, I didn't realize it's happening all around me too. This is Detroit, Michigan. The NAACP, National Association of Advancement of Colored People. That was a term that was used back then. But there were some who were there very much for the peaceful approach to it. In the top left corner is Martin Luther King Jr., who advocated peaceful integration. And of course, bottom right is Jackie Robinson, first black to break into Major League Baseball. So all this was happening when I was your age. So it was all around me. That's all you heard about. That was what's going on with this kind of thing. Now, we could have picked some other examples to talk about. This was a little more in my time frame. But what did Nazis do to the Jews back in the early 1900s? And these terms up here are probably not even reasonable to describe them. Mass brutality and words like that. Other than race, now, I picked on race to start with, so what do you think? Hope you got your books on page 21. There's some fill in the blanks here. I want you to work with as we go through here. Page 21. Other than race, what are some other ways that we discriminate toward people? How do we class people? How do we break out classes other than race? What's some other ways we break it out? I discriminate against you because of what? Your wealth, social status, how much money you got, the rich, the have versus the have nots. So social status can be discriminated because you're not in my class. You're not good enough for me. Some wealth, what else? What? Political views, yes, very much so. Okay, or you're far leftist. You're the far left, you're the most liberal thing I ever talked to in my life. What else? Football team, I wish the law came in my head. If it's discrimination or not. I understand your point. Okay. How about some of these? Gender? Disability? Look down on those with some disability or something? Okay. Age? Discriminate because the old people are getting pushed out of the workforce, so we can hire the younger people at a less price. More energetic. Economic status is missing. Like religion. And discrimination because of religion. When you say discrimination religion, what's the first term that comes to your mind these days? Muslims, right? That's what you hear most in our time these days. Sexual orientation. So, pick up the question. Are things any different. Say, I talked to you about what was going on back in the 60s. Are things any different today? Better? Worse? How are things today when it comes to discrimination in this line? Thoughts, anybody? Are we better off than we were? What? Yeah? Change it around a little bit? Change it around a bit. Share something with you. This is from the Huffington Post, March 16, 2017. Racist posters promoting white supremacy plagued college campuses. Andrew and I were talking last night about white supremacy. It's hearing more and more about. College campuses across the U.S. continue to be plagued with flyers promoting racism. On Monday, multiple flyers were posted by members of the Vanguard of America, a white supremacy group, found on the University of Maryland campus. It goes on to say that they were found on, I think it was 60 campuses in 25 states, promoting white supremacy on the college campuses, hoping to raise awareness for white supremacy. FoxNews.com, May 12, 2017. Students at Harvard University raised $27,000 for a graduation ceremony honoring the efforts of black students at that school. They're going to have a black commencement. The commencement is for the black people at Harvard because they came out of some such conditions they came out of, whatever they're thinking about, and they graduated from Harvard. Question number two on your paper there. Are we getting any better as a nation? Are we getting any better at dealing with these things now than we were when all the riots were going on back in the 60s? I'll read you a couple more things. Fox News, May 13, 2017. A U.S. senator scheduled to speak at a graduation for Texas Southern University, a historically black university, was canceled after opposition from students at the school. According to the student petition on change.org, we have the right to decide if we want to refuse to sit and listen to the words of a politician who chooses to use his political power in ways that continually harm, listen to this, continually harm marginalized and oppressed people. How do they consider themselves? Or how some else look at them? As marginalized and oppressed people. When you get to my age, go to a lot of doctors. You have a different doctor for everything. I go to a dermatologist. He sprays my head for precancerous little spots up here. I go to a different doctor that takes care of my toenails. I got a doctor for about everything in between. That's the way it is when you get to go. Lots of doctors. That one doctor that's probably my favorite. He's a black guy. But my favorite of all the ones to go. I like to talk to him. I just go and chat with him. This football season, we call football. Enjoy talking about what's going on. I was there earlier this year, not football season, so we got to chit-chat about just kind of world conditions and what's going on these days. And it kind of came down to this same thing we're talking about here with the political attitudes and the oppressed attitudes and the racist attitudes and whatever. So I asked the doc, I said, "Doc, is it any better now than it was back then?" He says, "I don't think so. It's just different. It's very different from what it was in the physical activity of, like you saw the trooper in Boca Luz, Indiana. It's very different." He said, I'm not sure it's any better. Now, in some ways, it may be, I heard a presentation, a panel discussion in Soul Hall recently where he was asked kind of the same question in an environment much like this. And so he said, I think it may be better. He said, at Emory Hills over in Atlanta, of course Atlanta's a melting pot for all races and things coming in there. He said, the church there is doing very well as far as blending in different people together. that we have a black brother who now is appointed as an elder and doing a great job. He said, I think things are better from there. I think back to my work experience. I retired a couple of years ago. And there's one white lady there at work that was laughing, cutting up, fit right into the crowd. I mean, she was just one of the, there's another black lady there who said, you cross me and I'll have a lawsuit against you. It's a modern day in the office now. There's a contrast there. Their attitudes. There's a white supremacist attitude. There's the attitude of, I'm an oppressed people. There's the attitude of all kinds of attitudes. Okay, let me show you this. This is obvious reading up there. Oh yeah, we haven't noticed it. With wire. If your city duties report any and all illegal aliens, they're criminals. America is a white nation. This is more. This is from now. So, here's my question. What are we on now? Number three. Is this a new problem? That's the question. Is this a new problem? Is it just started kicking up in the mid-60s when I was your age? And it's growing now. What was the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans in New Testament times? They hate each other. Not too good. Yeah, they hate each other. They hate each other. That's a pretty good way to put it. If you were to call a fellow Jew a Samaritan, how'd that be taken? You couldn't say anything much worse to a fellow Jew than to describe him as a Samaritan. You know what this verse is about? John 8:48. Somebody was called a Samaritan. Who was it? Jesus. Yeah, Jesus was called. Jesus is talking to him here and talking about verse 42, and he tells them, you're father of the devil, and goes on and talks to him, and which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Jesus answered him and said, do we not rather say that you're a Samaritan? As ugly as you could get, call us much Samaritan. How did the Samaritans, number five, how did Samaritans view themselves in relationship to the Jews? Well, Jesus is in John chapter 4 and goes to the well. And there he talks to a Samaritan. So we already got one class situation related here. We got Jews versus Samaritan. What else is introduced here? He's talking to a Samaritan woman. Okay. So now we got a different class situation. We got a man versus a woman situation here. Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman. And of course we know how he talked to her there. Verse 9 says, how is it that you did as you asked directly of me, a Samaritan woman? She made a point of that. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Luke chapter 10, there's a parable. It's about a man who fell among thieves, and his priest comes by, and he looks at him and walks on by. And this Levite comes by, he looks at him, and he walks on by. This guy comes by, you know the story, stops, takes care of him, and takes him to the inn. If you need more detail, I'll give it when I come back. But here's the cure. When it got down to the end of it, and Jesus asked a question to this lawyer, so which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among thieves? When the lawyer answered him, what did he say? So what happened? Why? Wait a minute. Why didn't he just say the Samaritan? He wouldn't, those words wouldn't come out of his mouth. If it'd been the priest, he'd say, oh, the priest took care of it. Think so? Oh, the Levite took care of it. The Samaritan? No. No, that got it. That guy helped him out. That's who it was. The leper. Luke 17. 10 lepers were healed. 10 lepers were healed. Which one came back to say thank you? The Samaritan. What's the point Jesus is trying to make to him? Think about that. Why pick out the Samaritan? Discrimination. I don't care what part of it is. Age, race, gender, whatever. Discrimination. Are all people? No way. My dog behaves better than most people. Here's my point. Before I got driven this point in the next few minutes. All people. All people are created by God in His likeness. All of them. I know this dude in the middle of this picture up here. The guy in the center. But each side supports preachers, lots of them in this country. Other places. Why does Steve fit right in with these guys? Yeah. We don't look at it and see the black and white picture here. That's all we're looking at. Different ball game. Guatemala. At least the guys in gym pretty much speak English. We can communicate with them on Facebook and things. Every time I communicate with one of these guys here, you know what my helper is? You know how I get from here to there? Google Translate. If I didn't have Google Translate, I couldn't make it. Okay? But other than the language barrier, what are the problems with these guys? Email stuff back to them? Or what? Don't see the race thing there. What are we all after? Same purpose. Okay. All right. With that little bit of background now, let's talk about my attitude. What's my attitude toward discrimination? And I don't care which one of what you're talking about, whether it's race or gender or age or disabilities or whatever. What's my attitude toward discrimination? There are 6 points. In your book, outline there, and what we're going to do is, I'm just going to hit some scriptures that talk about each one of these. And the scriptures are in your paper there, fill in the blank, if you're going to throw them here. So, hatred. Hatred of other races. Hatred of anybody else. Hatred of the murder. And the Bible is associated in one verse here, in 1 John 3:15. He who hates his brother is a murderer. That equation there. He who hates his brother is a murderer. If you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hatred. 1 John 2:11. He who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. In the scriptures, darkness is associated with evil or light. It's associated with good. Hate your brother. You're walking in darkness. So hatred of someone else is wrong. Whoever it is. No hatred. Alright. Judgment. Prejudice. Favoritism. Think about those for a minute. John 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance. Do not judge according to appearance. That was the picture I have with Steve up there. Don't judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. 1 Timothy 5:21. Our charge before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Without prejudice and no partiality. You see, things don't go. Romans 2:11, there is no partiality with God. Thankfully. Think about that passage. There is no partiality with God. What if there were? What if there were? Love others as ourselves. So, no hatred, no partiality, no prejudice, and love others as we love ourselves. This would be number about 13, 14, 15 on your paper. Mark 12:31. Jesus has been asked about the two commandments. The first one is this, and then he says the second one. The second is this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these two. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, that either others esteem others as a blank better than themselves. Each of you look out not for your own interest, but for the interest of others. What is my attitude toward others? Not hatred, not prejudice, not selfish. I'm looking out for the interest of others. I love my neighbor as myself. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Someone says, I love God and hate his brother. He's a what? He's a liar. Plain and simple. I love God, but I hate my brother. You're lying. He does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God he has not seen? This commandment we have from him, that he loves his brother, loves God, must love his brother also. Can't love God and hate your brother. This does not work. We love everyone. Salvation. This is coming out to the bottom reason for all the whole thing here. Salvation. God's offered salvation to everyone. I said earlier, God is not prejudiced. I'm faithful. God's offered salvation to everyone, all nations. Number 16. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the power of God of salvation to everyone. Everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. Everyone gets the gospel. Romans 10:12. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call on him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not just the white, not just the black, not just this old, not just the young, whoever calls on them. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. It may be that you have been the victim of discrimination of some type. Whatever. You feel like you've been hurt by discrimination. Whatever the reason. How are you going to deal with that? Sometimes you have to just forgive, move on, and let it go. Think about these passages. Ephesians 4:23. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. This is God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another, must explain against another, as Christ forgave you, so you do. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that one renders evil for evil to anyone. Pursue what is good for both yourself and for all. Sometimes we've been hurt. Because of whatever. Maybe I was a fat kid in school. I got picked on all the time. Something I got to move past it. Go on. Whatever it be. If I've been, feel like I've been discriminated against because maybe my religion, maybe, well, I'm ugly. Whatever it is, I mean, it's hard. Sometimes you have to move on with it. Now the last one is our speech. Our speech. 1 Peter 4:17. Honor all people. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Honor all people. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. Your speech. What gets us in trouble most of the time? Speech. We got one on tongue coming up later on. Talk about that then. Titus 3:1. Mind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak the evil of no one. Speak evil of no one. All right. Give you 6 points to think about. Now, let's tie it back to James chapter 2. That's our text. And it's on your book there. I got it written out for you. So, James chapter 2. Let's read the first 13 verses. James chapter 2. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of God, with glory, our glory with partiality. Lest it come unto you as a family of men with gold rings, one in fine apparel. Come to a poor man in filthy clothes. You pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, hey, you sit here in a good place. Poor man, you stand there, sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do the rich oppress you and drag you into courts? Do not blaspheme you, the noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law of the scripture, you should love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin. You are convicted by the law as transgressors. Whoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles at one point, he's guilty of all. He who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. And if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, are you not the transgressor of the law? So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment without mercy to the one who has been shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you some phrases I want you to circle. Let's go back to verse 1. Circle these phrases. Do not. My brethren, do not. Just circle do not. At the end of the verse, with partiality. With partiality. Second verse. Circle fine apparel and circle filthy clothes. Circle fine apparel and filthy clothes. Verse 3. Sit in the good place. Sit at my footstool. Circle those two. Verse 4. Have you not shown partiality? Verse 6. You have dishonored a poor man. You have dishonored the poor man. Verse 8. You shall love your neighbors yourself. You shall love your neighbors yourself. Verse 9. Show partiality, you commit sin. And in verse 13, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, let's go back and look at it with just a highlighted point here. I'm not trying to turn some of the scriptures not, okay? This gives you the gist of it. Do not show partiality, verse 1. Comparing fine apparel to filthy clothes. Compare the one you say sit in a good place to sit at my footstool. What have you done? You show partiality. You dishonored the poor man, verse 6. You just love your neighbor as yourself. You show partiality, commit sin. Mercy. Triumph over judgment. That's the highlight of the passage. And sums up very well what we've been talking about. about how we look at other people in various situations. So, love your neighbor as yourself. Show partiality, commit sin, mercy triumphs over judgment. So, closing thoughts. Racism. Racism in varying forms, to various degrees, has been a plague on humanity for thousands of years. It's nothing new. This should not be. Period. Because of racism, prejudice, and discrimination need to forgive. We're going to talk about Ephesians 4:32. Forgiving each other. Racists may not deserve our forgiveness, but we deserve God's forgiveness far less. Those who practice racism, prejudice, and discrimination need to repent. And here's the verse we end with. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither free, slave nor free, male or female. We are all one in Christ. We are all one in Christ. Okay? Time's up, right? Good. I thought so. Right on time. All right. If you have questions about this session, things we brought up that you want to ask questions about, or any others, there are forms out on this table, Q&A forms. Get one of the forms, write your question down, and we got a session this afternoon. We'll try to go back and answer those things like that if you got loose ends from any of the sessions. Okay, got a break coming up right there. And we'll